Welcome to Vibe Talk Music. I'm your host, Vibe Queen. In this season, we will get to know artists and entrepreneurs living their life authentically and passionately. We'll talk about current affairs, meditation, entertainment, and any wisdom they have learned along their spiritual journey. Join me as we vibe and talk music. This episode is brought to you by Artist Collective, guiding artists and entrepreneurs through the music industry. Learn more and join today at artistcollect.com and get back to the music. All right. Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Vibe Queen. And this week on Vibe Talk Music, we have artist and singer, rapper, he's super versatile, Luke Wiley with us. So Luke is known for his melodic style and ability to stay versatile while telling a vulnerable story through his music. He's born in Colorado, and he's been through his fair share of childhood trauma, which I know we're going to get into. Eventually, he became a father at 17. So I know that had an impact. So having a son inspired him to build a better life by sharing his story and using music to be vulnerable as his therapy. So welcome, Luke. How are you feeling today?
I am feeling fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm super excited to have you on and just to really get to know you. So I know you mentioned in your bio that your father dealt with alcoholism and was a murderer as well, which is like, I read that and I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
So can you share that story with us?
Absolutely. So I like to kind of add a little bit of the shock value. Everybody has that aspect of things. But my main thing is kind of expressing power through vulnerability. So that's why I put it out there so much. And I'm just really straight to the point. Like when people first meet me, sometimes I may get a little too deep if we're vibing because I like to share my story. I believe there's a lot of power in that to help other people, which is my main mission. But essentially when I was born, I had a completely different name until I was one. My mom was remarried to another guy with the last name Wiley. Which is how I inherited that, and which they later got divorced. So I'm the only person in my entire family with the last name Wiley, which is why Wiley Movement just seems like it was meant to happen, my entire brand. And it's really cool to kind of see that come into fruition. But I met my dad once when I was 8 years old, and he came back for one day. I was living in Denver. I grew up in Denver. And he came back, and he essentially was letting me know that he was moving to another state and he'd never see me again. And I'd never see him again. So I was like, why not just stay out of the picture at that point? Like, I already don't remember you. I was one when you left anyways. He used to beat my mom and a bunch of other crazy stuff, self-medicate and treat his own past traumas. And so I remember the day, like the back of my hand, he actually bought me Eminem Curtain Call and 50 Cent Get Rich or Die Trying, which started hip hop for me. And later ended up going into me learning how to dance. I used to teach dance in the city I'm in now, which is Rapid City. I used to teach hip hop dance, and then I've been doing music for 5 years. But I went to Google his name about 3 years ago and the state that he said he was moving to, and I never see him again. And I found a article of a stabbing. He stabbed his ex-wife on a bus and murdered her. And then some guys held him down until the cops arrived. And he was sitting life in prison. And then about a year later, I was telling somebody this exact story about how I found it. And I went to show them the article, which I also found a video of him in a straitjacket, like the interrogation video type. And he was rocking back and forth. And then eventually he got up and he was like, why don't you guys just fucking kill me? And he losing his mind. So it was crazy. A lot to kind of process. I don't think that I've really broke through that yet. But then I found, when I went to pull up that article a year later, I found his obituary, and he actually passed away in prison. And I found my siblings on that side. I have two brothers and two sisters on that side. And I ended up finding them only through the obituary, through his children. And they told me he died by AIDS. So it's a crazy, hectic circle.
That is a hectic circle. Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. I found out that I was half, I guess, adopted when I was 26. So it was crazy. Yeah. I went to get my dual citizenship, and I'm half German. And so it literally had a different last name, like a different name. And I was like, well, that's not my dad. I know my dad. So I called my mom and she's like, yeah, you should come to the house. And I'm like, wait, what? I'm 26 years old. And so long story short, they told me, oh, okay, you're half adopted. And so he died though, so it's all good. And I'm like, okay. And then, my goodness, like a fast forward 4 years later, I was like 30 or something like that. Yeah. I got a message on Facebook. This was when I was still signed under Sony Red. And he's like, oh, hi, I'm alive. And so I found out my dad was still alive. Isn't that crazy? What? Yeah. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because he had gone to prison for attempted murder. Yeah. So
I thought my story was bananas.
Crazy, crazy. So I'm telling you, crazy stories out there. So he is still alive. I've never met him. I've spoken to him once on the phone. And I have a sister as well. It's crazy. And wow, I didn't even think I'd be sharing this. See? We're just being
vulnerable. Yeah, it just happens. There's a bunch of stories and stuff that I've heard from my family about my dad that's nuts, and it just comes full circle.
It's crazy. And his ex-wife, which would be my sister's, as my half-sister's mother, she was in a mental institution. And so that's what prompted it, because you said straitjacket. So yeah, it's crazy. Wow. See, us artists have crazy stories, but
that's real life.
Yeah, but it's all good because, you know, my dad who raised me, bless his heart, bless his soul. He's such an amazing man. And if it wasn't for him, I would literally not be sitting here with you today. So I'm so grateful. So I want to talk about, you know, what happened when you were placed with, you know, your new family and just what happened from there.
As far as like my dad's side of the family. I've spoken to my sister and my brother on that side, one of each. And we didn't have, it hasn't been like a whole reuniting type thing. Like my sister on that side is, awesome. I definitely, at some point in my life, I think that I will, find my time to truly open up another side of my family. Family has always been a ridiculous term for me, and I'm sure we'll get into that as well. But yeah, I have enough problems in one family right now. I don't think that I've really opened up there. And there wasn't like a giant click, you know what I mean? It's not like, I mean, my murderer dad just passed away, and I found you guys randomly. So
right. Did they know that you existed, or was it a shock to them, or what was that like?
No, they did, which was funny because I was my dad's junior. My brother on that side was also my dad's junior, but I got my name changed. So as if you weren't arrogant enough to give one of your kids your name, which is cool to do that, but you're going to give them all your name, dude, all the boys? Yeah, you're all juniors. I don't know.
Wow. Okay. So something that I thought was really impressive when I was getting to just know you and read your story was that you've recorded 600 songs in the past 5 years. That's incredible. Can you just share how did you do that? And what has that process and journey been like for you?
I guess I'll start with the aspect of my entire family I've watched with some sort of addiction. So my mom at some point, at a way earlier point, I grew up witnessing like gambling addiction and alcoholism. And then throughout different pieces of my family, I've witnessed people literally blowing meth pipes and selling meth and pills and snorting pills and heroin. And I mean, glory to God, real life, that I for some reason I was able to see it and not fall into it. Like, it's very easy to be susceptible to that life. But my point to get to your question, I think that's my addiction. That's kind of where I run to and where I go to. I'm still trying to figure out a lot of things. Like I had my son when I was 17 years old, and I've been on my own since I was 14 years old. And before that, I never felt like I really had family or foundation anyways. So I've been trying to just figure it out. I lock myself inside the studio all the time. I've made probably at least 400 of those songs were in the last 3 years. Like the majority of them were definitely like I made a song every other day, at least on average, for the past 3 years for sure.
Wow. That's incredible. And I think your music's awesome. I've been listening to it pretty much the whole evening. And because I always listen to, you know, the guests that I have on. And, you know, I'll be honest, your music, I just kind of, it just kept playing. And, you know, that's the best when you just, you don't want to change it. And so I felt that with your music. So I think it's, you're doing a great thing. It's awesome. Something I wanted to ask you, if you would have someone that admired you, what advice would you give them? If you had someone that looked up to you, what would you tell them?
It's nuts. I feel this one in my whole entire cerebellum, because I have a lot of people that the point or the premise of my music and like my brand is all about trying to inspire people and you know, kind of put a little bit more of a positive or a vulnerable light on things, especially in the hip hop realm, which could be very difficult. But I have a lot of people. I've had 8 people message me and give me some sort of a message on some sort of suicide stop. Like they were going to shoot themselves in the head, or they were going to swallow a bunch of pills this night and this song came on, and then countless other messages on just helping in general, which humbly speaking, and I'm very grateful and blessed to be able to have that sort of talent. But if I had advice, I'm going to give advice that's not always easy for even myself to take, which is pretty much key for most advice, I feel like, that people give until they really master it. I think humility is a huge thing to practice, and also slowing down, which I am horrible at. But slow down, take time for yourself. And the biggest one that I've been kind of practicing and learning a lot now is that you come first before everybody. And that's the biggest one. And I've struggled with that because I've been a caretaker my entire life, but you come first.
Wow. And how did you come to that realization, you come first? Because I feel like sometimes that's the one that people would associate with being selfish. Mm-hmm. And I know it took a long time for me to recognize that self-care and self-love is not selfish. It's actually self-preservation. So I'm curious to know what was it for you that made you recognize that that was so key?
Well, I like the way that you said it a lot more. self-preservation is a very good way to put it. I've been saying, like, in my music, I've had a couple lines in the last few days that are like, you got to be selfish in order to be selfless. It's one of those things. I started talking to a family friend or a friend's family, a friend's grandfather, who actually is a licensed therapist. He's done that his entire life. That's always been his career, helping kids and stuff. And we just talked a few nights ago, and even the caretaker word, like 15 minutes into our conversation, he's just letting me like go. And then he's just like, Luke, let me ask you something. Do you think that you're a caretaker? And I was like, I don't think I know anything else, dog, to be honest. And then he, throughout the entire session per se, he told me like to stop giving a fuck. Like you have to focus on you, bro. Like, cause that's literally all I've done. Like my friend groups, include people way older than me or younger than me. I don't rock with much people my age. And I think that's because I have an older brother complex. So anybody that's going through any piece of anything that I've been through, I'm like, yo, I got you. And then the older people who usually say that I'm so wise and I fit in with them anyways, the older people I view for mentorship.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. I came to that conclusion by talking to that friend's grandfather.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, and it's same. I came to that conclusion by working with a life coach. So makes a lot of sense. Very cool. So I would love for you to share how you are able to shift your negative thoughts, because I think that's something a lot of our listeners probably would love different points of view on. Because I know that negative thinking, you know, we have, I think, like 60,000 thoughts a day or something like that. I know it's a ridiculous number. And right. Often we have a lot of the same thoughts. So could you share with us maybe some methods or ways that you're able to shift your negative thinking to positive thinking, or what you do?
Yeah, my entire family has anxiety, like from the top of the tree all the way down, like, or the roots all the way up, however you want to look at it. So I've dealt with anxiety my entire life, which simply put, my brain moves way faster. So it's essentially like, or when I go to sleep, you know, everybody, especially when you're alone and you're getting ready to go to sleep, or it's just nighttime and you're more alone, that's usually when those thoughts start racing. Most of the negative ones. Obviously, everybody has stuff going on throughout their days. But I think that the main thing that I've learned, especially through my own journey of anxiety, is learning to acceptance. I think acceptance is just huge. Like, I think there's, we see everybody's highlights through social media every single day of our lives, and we get envious and we compare ourselves to other people. And that's where these beliefs start coming in, because we choose to believe that this is better, or this is how things should be, or this is how my life should be. Learning to be present and accepting the fact that, like, yo, this is my story. So I'm going to continue to move forward. Or the fact that I'm envious because this guy, honest story, true story, this guy has a million streams on Spotify and he's all over TikTok, and he just started making music 3 years ago, and I've given up every piece of my life to this. And that's okay. That's fine, because that's not your story, and I'm meant for a bigger purpose regardless of, not a bigger purpose than his, or maybe a way bigger purpose than his. But like, the main thing is like accepting, like, this is me and this is who I am, and which is always a work in progress, and it's going to be ever changing. So I wouldn't ever strive for perfection, because then you're going to beat a dead horse. But I think the main thing is acceptance and showing yourself some compassion, that you're not perfect and you're only human, and these things happen, and it's okay to feel that way. In the same way that I've always talked to my son, if he's upset about something, I'll ask him, like, what sort of emotions are you feeling right now? It's okay to cry. Absolutely. What kind of emotions are you feeling right now? Oh, you're sad. Why do you think you're sad? Do you think that you're embarrassed? Do you think that you're, oh, okay, so you're embarrassed. Okay, so now just sit down and think about it. If you want to finish crying, that's fine. But just remember, like, this is why you're feeling this way, because I'm embarrassed. What things can you do better next time to make sure that that doesn't happen and you don't feel that sort of way? And understanding your feelings and emotions. So acceptance, and then taking the time to ask yourself questions.
I love that. So it sounds like you're parenting your son in a very conscious way.
I'm very there. I think the fact that my father was never there and nobody ever helped me work through emotions, and I've kind of built, I'm very proud of myself on, as far as this brain stem up here, mm-hmm. this whole brain piece, like the entire, from the front to the back. And I like the sides too. I'm very proud of the fact that I've done a lot of spiritual and internal work, I would say, to try to understand myself. And like I said, like, if anybody's like listening and they're like, man, this guy really has it figured out. Nah, but I am working on it. And I think that's the main point. And I'm going to show myself some compassion and know that I'm never going to be there. There's not a moment. Don't set a destination. You're never going to be there perfectly in your mind. But it's a work in progress, and I'm proud of myself. So,
absolutely. All we have is here right now. So I love that for sure. And how old is your son?
He's six.
Six. Okay. And so he's able to grasp when you're talking to him, and, you know, you're just kind of working it through. So I think that's awesome. And have you been talking to him like this, like, the entire time?
From the
get-go,
with
this kind of conscious. Okay. And how does he respond to that? Does he take that well?
This dude's nuts. Like, I was so blessed. Like, and I think that we've also done a really good job. But I think that just from the get-go, he was the smartest swimmer. And he made it. And he cares so much. And he's so empathetic. And he's grateful. And
wow.
I think a good amount of that comes from obviously the parents, but I think that he's just a good seed. And so he understands. He's definitely there.
That's wonderful. It's definitely a reflection of you, but for sure that's great. So I would love to ask you, how do you feel from, because you mentioned spirituality, and I definitely want to shift into that conversation. So as far as like what has been happening on a collective level, right, as far as the lockdowns and all of the things that are happening in the world, how do you feel it's been affecting people from a collective point of view, in your opinion? Do you think there's a shift happening, or I would just love your point of view on it, in your opinion?
I think from an optimistic point of view, I think that Like straight up, this is where I'm at as far as I believe in a lot of things, you know, certain spiritual things as far as like laws of attraction and stuff like that. But I am also a Christian, and also in the way of for myself that I battled with for a while and I talked to my mom with is I don't necessarily and take this lightly, but I don't necessarily rock with religion. I think on the religious aspect of just like the robotic religions. Of as far as like inside Christianity and other branches
organized
of like
religion.
Say this, do this, drink this, eat this, repeat this. Like I've built my relationship with God. I do believe in God. I believe in Jesus personally. But I believe that I'm also building my own relationship within that. And that's a bigger thing than that. But in an optimistic light, I think that right now, I'll give the main course and then the veggies. I think that, excuse me, the Kool-Aid's getting to me. I think that that right now has opened up a huge time, optimistically speaking, for a lot of people to really understand themselves if they will allow themselves to see the fact, see the opportunity that we have. I think that it's been really rough for a lot of people on mental health. Especially those already prone to anxieties and depressions and stuff like that. I've witnessed it. I've been through it. My anxiety translated way deeper into a depression than I've ever felt in my life. But I think that grasping the opportunity that it's also a huge change in the world. There's been a lot of stuff happening, obviously. This is election year, COVID, Black Lives Matter, there's a lot going on. So many different spiritual and real life wars. But I think that there's a huge, I think the optimistic side in where I try to sit myself is understanding that there's a huge opportunity to work on ourselves and really look at the way the world is and reflect and see what we could do better.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you placed it in a way where there's an opportunity because ultimately it's a choice.
Right.
And so I think that's a good way of framing it, is that if you can recognize that it's an opportunity, then you can recognize that you have a choice. Are you going to, like you said, take the optimistic route and look within and look at this as an opportunity to grow and expand and elevate? Or are you going to take the negative route? Are you going to feed into the fear? You know, there's a video I shared on my story yesterday of Cuomo in New York, which he's up for a Founders Emmy Award for best speech, if you will, for COVID, mm-hmm. which I think is hilarious because to me that just kind of plays into the narrative of acting, you know. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But the point that I'm making, though, is that the little clip I shared showed Cuomo talking about the reason you New Yorkers, this is him, I'm paraphrasing, mm-hmm. the reason you New Yorkers are wearing your mask is not because we are telling you not to. It's not because of the law. It's because of fear. The reason you New Yorkers are wearing your masks wherever you're going and your social distancing is because you don't want to catch the virus. It's because of fear. He literally said that. And so, you know, regardless of what your views on it are, it is fear. You're leading with fear. And it's a negative frequency, you know, and that's what really shuts down your immune system. So I love that you presented it in that way. It's an opportunity. Do you want to lead with love or with fear? So, I definitely want to lead with the optimistic mindset. So with that being said, what are some tools that you could share to kind of stay leading with that optimism? Like, for example, what do you kind of say to yourself to kind of lift yourself up when you find yourself kind of going down that rabbit hole of depression? Like, do you have some tools that you kind of tap into to kind of pick yourself back up that you could share with us?
Yeah, I think that the main thing is, first and foremost, I definitely have the tools. I think that a huge thing is really using them. I think that a lot of the times I do point them out, and I'm very good at this type of I've done a lot of soul searching. I think that I'm really good at saying stuff. The action of taking most of those tools, I don't do all of this always, but things that have really helped me for sure when I did get in my routine And try to be a little bit more proactive on things has definitely been meditation. And that's just a huge piece of like bringing yourself to the present moment, because anxiety is heavily stemmed on the future and the what ifs and all of that. And then depression is kind of usually more stemmed towards the past and like, and sulking there. So bringing yourself to the present moment and learning to do that, or just sitting around and literally doing nothing for like 5 minutes, but breathing, like literally laying on your floor, laying on the couch, doing absolutely nothing for like 5 to 15 minutes, absolutely nothing. Definitely helps. I think reading and anything that kind of calms you. I've definitely just laid on my bed and listened to like meditation music and not even meditated, just vibed. And then another thing, when I was talking to my friend's grandfather the other day, was finding a me place, a place to just go alone. Whether that's, for me, a lot of that has been the studio. Even though at some point, that's kind of mixing work and pleasure and relaxing time. So sometimes it could be contradicting. Like I need to go up to the studio and just kind of vibe this out. Mm-hmm. But then like now I'm talking about it and now there's too much. And now there's a pressure. Cause like, what if this song isn't like, you know, and instead of just kind of finding your zen. But I think those are the main ones for me. I also don't drink caffeine. Lower wow. your nicotine. I definitely be hitting some nicotine, but lowering your nicotine levels. Caffeine did a lot for me for anxiety though, for sure.
Gotcha.
And watching your drinking, your alcohol intake, which last week or so I haven't been the best on, but you know.
Gotcha. No, I mean, hey, we all have our vices. Like for me, I stopped drinking alcohol altogether, which really just kind of happened pretty naturally, progressively. Yeah. I just have no desire. And so yeah. It doesn't even feel difficult. Whereas mm-hmm. before, when I would try to stop drinking, it felt like a challenge. So it just kind of became a natural thing. I definitely do drink caffeine. So there you go. But I don't really have anxiety. So
yeah.
You know what I mean? So it all depends on what you struggle with. And I don't use nicotine. I've never been a smoker of like cigarettes, but I do smoke weed. So there you go. But I have epilepsy. That's my excuse.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, that was the biggest thing for that is I used to be on the same wave. And let me just clarify real quick. I have no problem not drinking. My shit is very leisurely. Like I find my level and I am so happy with just coasting. I can have two beers and I'm chill. I don't feel any sort of problem with that. And I think I've watched my family do it so much that there's just not a thing. Like I could just never drink again right now. And I know I wouldn't struggle at all. On the first aspect. Second aspect is I used to smoke a lot of weed. And then I got laced and seized out of my bed for 9 hours and felt depersonalization for the next like 6 months. So anytime I've ever tried to smoke after that, my own mind sends me back there.
Gotcha.
So I've cut my ways.
Totally makes sense.
But to each his own.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. That makes sense. Talking about tools, something that I'm curious about, and I want to start asking every single guest now, is could you share with us what your morning routine is, or if you have a routine? I'm always curious because I have definitely switched up my routine over time, but I know that the more I listen to podcasts and the more I read about biographies and I just study the greats, I've noticed a common theme, and that's they all have a morning routine. Regardless if they get up super early or later, they have a routine. And so I want to start inspiring our listeners to have a routine, whether it's elaborate or not. So if you care to share, what
is I am the perfect start to this. Check this out.
Okay.
Now, what you going to do? No, what I do is I wake up. For the first 5 minutes of me waking up, I try to figure out what my name is. I'm completely dead for the first 5 to 10 minutes. Once I figure out that, yo, you in fact are Luke Wiley, I take myself, I question myself and see if I have anything to do today. And then I take myself to the studio and I lock myself in there until 2 a.m. and do it all over again. That's most of my vibes. Otherwise, I don't necessarily have a huge morning routine. When I did, though, I mean, I have some insight on a point where I did, which I want to get back to. So let me just be 1,000. I think that kind of helps anyways, because it opens up the fact that, yo, I'm definitely not perfect and I'm not there. But check this out. This is what's happened and worked for me. So I used to wake up at like 6 in the morning and I would go to the gym, and I used to hate starting the gym or the day, or starting my day with the gym. Once you get in that routine, I'm telling you, there's something about hitting those buys and tries in the morning that are just going to like wake up your soul. So I started doing that. First thing I would do when I got out of bed, though, is make sure that I shoot a whole glass of water down my gullet. And that helps you, A, wake up, and then just gets you started for the day. But that's a lot of people, like, I'm hypersensitive to caffeine too. So that's one of the things. If I have a sip of coffee, I'm telling you, like, I'm dying. My whole brain is confused. I start getting a little bit of anxiety. I'm jittery.
Wow.
Like,
okay.
It's nuts. But water helps. If you're in that realm or you just don't drink coffee, just a glass of water to the dome piece. And then the gym. And then one thing that really helped me, especially with anxiety, but just staying sane, is Google Calendar. So I would always have everything in there and I would check my calendar for the day. And that's usually how my day started, because I'm very entrepreneurial. So before COVID, I had a social media marketing agency. And that's where my fundage came through. And then a piece of from my music and some other things. But I'm very like kind of all over the place. I'm not very traditional. So the calendar would kind of show me on what I had actually to do that day.
Awesome. Sounds like you're going to maybe get back to that.
I'm for sure trying to get back to that.
I think that's great. I think it's important to have a morning routine, even if it's not elaborate, just to have some kind of routine. Because just from what I've been studying, it seems to be a good thing to do. There's a book I've read back in my real estate days called The 5-Second Rule, and by Mel Robbins. A fantastic book. And it's basically you count down from 5 to 1, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you get whatever you need to get done. It's like a little hack in your brain. If you count down from 5 to 1 like a rocket, your body will just get it done.
And that book is called The 5-Second Rule.
The 5-Second Rule by Mel Robbins.
I'm totally listening. I'm just going to write it down in my phone.
No, that's fine. Go ahead. And so whenever I wake up, I try to like put my phone far away. I use the 5-Second Rule to get out of bed, if I remember. And then, just like you, the gym, I joined a boxing class, which is like a couple minutes from my house. So whenever I don't cancel, I go to the class. And then meditation and journal. So yeah, but I want to start asking people what their morning routine is. I think that's so important. Hopefully those listening will be inspired. So,
I can't wait to hear what people with real morning routines say.
I know, right? Those that are uber successful and have loads of dreams. Another question I have for you, especially because you mentioned that you have your friend circle are either those that are older or those that are younger. For those that are listening that, you know, may just be starting out in the business or, you know, maybe suffer from moments of self-doubt, what advice or what tips would you give for those that are struggling with their confidence? Like, how were you able to become so confident in who you are? And especially with the ability that you have to be so vulnerable, because I'm noticing a trend that it's becoming more acceptable to be vulnerable and authentic, but I get the sense that you've always kind of been this way, which I appreciate. So how have you been able to become so confident in who you are and your story and just been able to share that, especially with your music?
I think that, the best thing, I think a huge piece is, and I struggle with this one because I don't want anybody to get off put by what I say, but I think the first thing is self-awareness. And I almost sound like a hater when I say this, because at the end of the day, I know that I'm really good at this, as far as like music. And I mean that like humbly, like as much, I'm one of those people that are like, I'm sorry if this like offends any, like I always say I'm sorry first and foremost, and I'm trying to learn to gain
that. Don't apologize.
That's my thing. So I've been learning on that confidence thing, but a huge thing is self-awareness, because there's a lot of people that are making music and there's a lot of them that are noise, if that makes sense. Mm. It's hard for people that have the talent there. So my main thing would be self-awareness. Understand, like, put in a bunch of hours and do it. Like, if you're going to do a music career, understand first and foremost that just be prepared to put in 10 years with no results. None. literally none. If you can't do that, then there's no point in even doing it, because you're you could blow up tomorrow, but hey, it could be 12 years from now. It could be 7 years from now. You just never know. Just be equipped to put in 10 years with nothing at all. But as far as the being open, I think a huge piece of that is heartbreak. And I think that my family life has shattered me so many times over and over again that I became so empathetic for every other person and human being in the world that I would rather tell my story and be open and allow somebody to relate to it, because somebody is going to, regardless, than be the person that the norm is or the socially acceptable version that is sharing all their highlights and then acting out what they post on their Instagram and yada, 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 because they think that it makes them cooler. I disagree. I believe that being open with your feelings and carrying, especially the stigma on men in general, and so many men suffering with depression because we have to be macho and bad as fuck all the time and just, you know, hunter gatherer, never talk about your feelings because you're a man, is the stupidest shit I've ever heard in my life. And I would refuse to raise my son up that way, and I refuse to raise myself up that way. So I think a huge thing is just not giving a fuck about what anybody else thinks or what society is telling me to be 1000% honest. Like, I call me feminine, call me whatever, which is just fucking stupid anyways. But obviously when I get passionate, I cuss up a little bit, but yeah, like I'm a man because I said so, not because anybody else told me so.
Wow. I love that. I really like that. I'm a man because I said so, not because anybody else told me so. I'm sorry. I'm just like taking
that was on the spot.
I didn't even have a question prepared. I don't even have a follow-up right now. I'm just like, wow. Okay.
I do my best. That was obviously, I just get super passionate in some certain circumstances. Or certain things trigger me a tiny bit. So I get amped and I usually kind of go off like that. But
no, that was great. I do the same thing. It's like, I just like, I go on my rants. But no, I love that. And I do have a question, or really just a comment, because you brought up feminism. And so maybe we'll get a little vulnerable right now. Okay. But, you know, something I'm seeing that's happening, and I would love to get your feedback on this, because I think it's kind of twisted when we talk about masculine and feminine and all of that, because the sense that being able to talk about your feelings as a man is feminine, I don't think that's feminine. That's just being human, because we all have masculine and feminine energy within us. And this has nothing to do with sexual orientation, by the way. This is just our energetic field.
Period.
That purely nothing to do with what you do in the bedroom. That's just your energetic field, period. And so this idea that being in touch with your feelings or self-awareness or meditation or any of those practices are feminine, it's just completely ludicrous to me. Now, with that being said, what is your feedback of Harry Styles being on the cover of Vogue in a ball gown? And I don't believe he's gay or bi or anything, but he is supposedly brave for being a man wearing a ball gown on the cover of Vogue. Have you heard about this?
I've heard lightly about it, but I've not seen it. I also seen something about who else did the cover?
I think only two men have been on the cover of Vogue.
James Charles? Is that a thing?
I don't know. I just know this month's issue, he's on the cover wearing a ball gown. He's wearing a couple of other dresses and skirts, I believe, in the issue. And people are calling him brave and courageous, which I don't know why it's brave in any way, shape, or form. I would just love your feedback on that. I mean, I don't get it. I personally think it's just weird.
You think this one blowing up a balloon?
Yeah. I just think it's weird. I think it's odd. I don't think it's masculine in any way, shape, or form. I don't really understand what it's supposed to promote. I don't think it promotes bravery. That's just my personal opinion. What do you think? I think it's weird. I think it takes away the masculinity of men. So I just think it's a weird message, but
I definitely do too. I think that there's a lot of behind the scenes things that I don't necessarily even understand. So I don't get deep into. But I think that pushes confusion. Which this is why it's such a hard line for this conversation for myself, which is fine. Let's go there. But my thing is like, yo, I don't give a fuck what you wear, who you are, what you identify as, what your orientation is. That's fine. That's all you. I'm happy for you. But when you have it's a double-edged sword, no matter what you say, yeah. Because if I say something like, well, when you have a platform, you tend to have a responsibility to try to, and I'm not saying that he's being malicious or there's malicious intent. So mm-hmm. It's like, it's hard to say one thing without the other group of people. They're the other side, which I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks, but without the other side being like, well, that's not fair because, what's wrong with him pushing his own lifestyle? That's not what I'm saying. I think that there's a lot of people who are definitely very confused in a way that they don't understand that could send the wrong message to. And then I also think that could probably empower a group of people that are, but if for him, if he's not a,
he's not transgender, he's not gay, he's not black, I think, so why are you wearing a ball gown? For what?
I think that sounds to me, it's weird. And I could be 1000% wrong. That sounds to me like a paycheck and a pawn, but
exactly.
I don't.
Thank you. And I agree with you. I agree with you. And that's why I think it's weird. It's like, what? Why? Just why? Why? Why?
That is very weird.
I think it's weird too. So anyway, I have another question for you. Since we're on this topic, and since you're a parent, and I'm not a parent, how do you feel about them teaching children about the pronouns and them teaching about, you know, all of this confusion in a sense? How do you feel about that? And do you agree with it as a parent?
I think that it just adds confusion again. And the main thing is, I was going to say a point on that last subject, but I forgot it. But I don't know if that's necessary. Like, I'm not here to slam anybody, and I know that you're not either. But like, my aspect is like, why the fuck does that matter? And then we took X out of school, and now we're adding this. Like, here's my thing. Here's my thing as a fucking parent. Teach people to live their fucking life and educate our children on shit that makes sense. Like, the whole education system has been broken, and none of it is geared towards any sort of entrepreneurism or understanding your fucking life or your emotion. I mean, they don't have to be a therapist, but understanding like the things that you'll deal with as 18. I don't know anybody that was truly prepared by the time they were 18 or educated enough to understand how to run their own business. So like, teach our kids on shit that's going to help them. I don't see where that adds value is my thing. I think that it just promotes a little bit of confusion, and I didn't even understand that shit for the longest time, and I'm fucking 24. Like, what are we putting that, like, why am I a 6-year-old? Why does my 6-year-old need to understand that shit?
Right.
I just think it's a waste of, if we're gonna add anything, I don't want to see anybody add shit. It's just like anything else, wasting tax dollars, and people are pissed off.
Right.
You're just wasting my fucking time. Like, don't add more shit to the education system for my child unless it's going to help him in life. And I just don't see where that helps him in life. I just don't. I'd rather teach him how to do anything.
I agree with you. I mean, the way I look at it, you know, and is that public school, unfortunately, it grooms children to become employees, period. Not entrepreneurs.
Period.
You know, so... But that's I can do a whole episode on that, in my opinion.
Me too.
So, well, not even, yeah, it's just it's just crazy to me. But yeah, I just wanted to ask you from a parental point of view, because it's just, they feel like they slip things in real sneaky.
Oh, so, yeah.
Have you heard any of that? I mean, is your kid, everything's via Zoom, right? Are they in kindergarten, or how's that working
with your kid? He is on Zoom.
Has he ever even gotten a chance to be in a classroom?
Yes, he was entirely last year, and then the year before. He was entirely last year, and then the year before he was in Head Start twice. Because we put him in really young, not because he got held back in Head Start. You feel me? yeah, I haven't heard any of that. And okay, plus, I'm good. In South Dakota, and I feel like they're behind on everything ever. So who knows?
Gotcha. Yeah, it just dawned on me. There's going to be kids that have never been in a classroom before. Like, it just dawned on me. There's kids that have only, like, learned through Zoom. So that's interesting.
That's wild.
our future is going to be interesting.
That's wild.
Because I've spoken to teachers and just kind of gotten their feedback. And I'm like, the consensus I've gotten overall is that it's been much more difficult to teach via Zoom because sometimes parents are not as involved in their children's lives, you know? And so a lot of times the children are not even showing up to class or they're not turning in their homework. I've spoken to teachers that said they've not even seen their kids at all. And so there's children not even going to school. I'm like, wow. So it's just, yeah, it's pretty crazy. I do have a question for you. This is kind of a random question.
Yeah.
But if you could have a conversation with someone, either living or dead, who would you talk to and what would you talk about?
God and what the fuck I'm supposed to be doing right now. But if I could go a little bit less, that's a good fucking question. Ooh, that one got me.
Don't think too hard, just someone that maybe pops into your mind. I mean, it could be an artist, could be a former president, it could be somebody personal in your life, perhaps. Or
if I could have one conversation with somebody dead or alive, who would it be?
Yeah, and just what would you talk about with them?
First thing that comes to mind, and if I think of something that's a little bit more reasonable, then I'll say it. But I'd want to say, just off my head, I think of Drake for some weird reason. But I think it's because, first of all, homie said in one of his tracks, I have more slaps than the Beatles. Do you know how crazy that's got to be able to like genuinely say that? He literally has more number one hits than the Beatles, which is...
I didn't know that, actually.
It's disgusting. But I think just on that aspect, we would obviously talk about music. And I would take a lot of notes. I think I have a lot of dreams about that type of stuff. I've had so many dreams of me sitting in like the same room as Drake and we're like talking about stuff. Or the one that I've been having really recently, like the past few months, for some reason, is Billie Eilish. Me and her are best friends in my dreams for some weird ass reason. And I can't wait because Billie is the shit. But I think that's definitely a sign. Chance the Rapper, quote unquote. I don't believe in science. I believe in signs. I think that's a huge sign. I think me and Billy are gonna be best friends. Yeah, I think that's where to go. And I feel like if I actually had the time to sit down and think about it, it'd be somebody on a more spiritual level to figure out my life and my soul, but I can't think of a name off top. So the next one would obviously be about music, and he's at the top of the game from anybody's, regardless on what standpoint you're on, he's fucking ginormous. So
yeah, I'm sure you could learn a ton.
Yeah,
you'd be taking notes
all day.
Yeah, for sure. What is an unpopular opinion that you have?
I love these questions, by the way. Shout out. Unpopular opinion. That there's fucking just no such thing as soft, man. I think it goes back to the same masculine, feminine. Like, I've just always been viewed as, like, you know how many times I used to be made fun of because I did my eyebrows in like high school and everybody was like, that's so gay. And then we'd be at like parties and stuff and people would say that to me. And I was like, first of all, ladies, how many of you guys like my eyebrows? And all of their girlfriends would be like, and I'd be like, all right, well, then I'm gay as shit then. Anyways, but, which I mean, whatever. But I think there's just no such thing as soft. I am who I am. So, like, take it or leave it. But I'm very open and vulnerable. And I talk about my emotions and I care about my emotions and I'm empathetic, and which is viewed by society standards for the most part as so feminine and girly and blah. Fuck it, I don't care. That's fine. I'm gonna tell you right now, I love me some women. I'm not gonna lie to you. but I'm furthest from that, which is fine because half of my family's gay, like, love. But yeah, man, there's no such thing as soft or hard, or especially when you're talking about masculinity and That's the main point. So it's just, it's okay to be you.
It's all about just taking ownership. I mean, look at, you know, some of the greats, like look at Prince. Like, he's a fantastic example. Women were just all over this man. And he was, I mean, by society standards, pretty feminine. You know, the man wore heels, for Christ's sake. So absolutely, I hear you. Well, Luke, it was an absolute pleasure getting to know you. And just, you know, I appreciate you sharing your story and opening up and just really going there. Before we wrap up, I always end the episode with asking you to share some life advice, some wisdom, something that our listeners can kind of take to heart. So what would you like to share and leave us with?
That you matter, genuinely. I think the biggest point on all the points that we've talked about, and I may even reiterate a little bit of it, just to bring it back full circle, you fucking matter. Not the way that other people perceive you or what other people tell you to be or what society or other people's moments. Fuck all of that shit. You matter first. I when I talk to people, they always used to ask me, like, what's the most important thing to you? And I'd be like, my son, easy. And they'd be like, when I just had that conversation a couple of days ago with my friend's grandpa, he's like, stop saying that. I'm like, the fuck? That's my son. Mm-hmm. He's like, you are the most important thing in your life. And that's something that I'm trying to get to, because that's everything else comes afterwards. I heard this quote a long time ago. If you and a baby, I have a question for you, kind of just getting in the middle of this. If you and a baby were sinking in the ocean, all of a sudden you come to, you just spawn, right? You look around, you're like in the fucking ocean. There's a baby that's like lower than you, right? And you're kind of close to the surface and your oxygen levels are on 50%. Are you going to swim down and try to get that baby? Or are you going to float up to the top, catch your breath, and then go after the baby?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Breath, right.
You have to. And what I've done my entire life, I've been on my own since I was 14 because my stepdad beat the fuck out of me until I peed blood. So I left the house. Never went back. Had a son at 17. I was in meth houses with my siblings and watching them snort opiates and do meth and blow meth pipes and sell meth. And I was in JSC a bunch because of that juveniles. And I've watched almost my entire family throw away my life. And growing up, my name was The Pest. That was my nickname for the family. And they forgot about me on Christmas when I was 11 years old. And no one gave a fuck about me. They left me home alone all the time while they went to the casinos. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. But guess what? I fucking care. And that's what everybody needs to strive to, because everything that I lay my life down and do, the reason why I do my music and that I care about everything that I do, is to help other people by being vulnerable and letting them know my story, which is why I threw out the last half of it right here on the end, because it's, you fucking matter. Fuck the rest of it. Everybody else wants to tell you and give you reasons on why you don't, and wants to inspire you to be envious instead of inspire you to understand that you are fucking powerful with or without anything that else or anybody else says. It all starts here. So if you don't take time for yourself and to learn yourself and to ask yourself questions and to love yourself, and it's going to be uncomfortable for whoever needs to hear this, that's being a caretaker for everybody else and living for everybody else, it's going to be super fucking uncomfortable and it's going to be super fucking lonely. I promise you. And that's the thing that you're scared of right now. But the best things in life are the things that you're scared of, and you go fucking through it. Go focus on yourself and learn. It's going to be a rough road, but the end of it is going to be fucking beautiful. It's all about you. That's my piece of advice.
Wow. Preach. I'm just going to give it some snaps.
I told you I get it.
You know, I want to clap. I get a little amped. Whew, Luke Wiley. Amazing. Tell everybody how they can best support you, where they can follow you, all that good stuff.
Absolutely. The best way to support an artist ever is merchandise and shows. Right now, COVID-19 is going crazy, or... we can't really do shows, but if anybody wants to buy merch, that would be awesome. LukeWileyMusic.com. It's just LukeWileyMusic.com. You can find my merch there. And if you don't want to support any sort of way of money, or you want to hear my music first, which is definitely, okay. You can go to YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, anywhere where you listen to music, literally, just type in Luke Wiley. It's simple as that. All of my handles for Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, all that is at Luke Wiley Music. So it's super simple. Either type in Luke Wiley or Luke Wiley Music, find yourself some YouTube videos, some Spotify streams, steal my music. I don't give a fuck. Like, just go and check it out.
Oh, you're awesome. Very cool.
Appreciate it.
Thank you again. I appreciate you. I know we're going to stay in touch. And
period.
Yeah, Vibe Talk Music. Luke Wiley, Vibe Queen. If you guys enjoyed this episode, make sure you leave a review. Give us 5 stars. Hopefully, if you enjoyed it. And yeah, till next time. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening. To stay in touch, please subscribe to my newsletter over at vibequeenmusic.com to stay up to date with my music and guided meditation, this podcast, and to get your free manifestation guide. Till next time, and remember, self-awareness is the gateway to inner peace.